Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Text for this morning from the greatest verse in the whole of the book of Proverbs, and that is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Bible scholars agree that is the greatest verse in the whole book of Proverbs, and possibly, as you read the word of the Lord, this is the key to every other thing. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Can you look at the screen if you don't have a physical Bible? 1, 2, 3, go. Trust in the Lord. So, you can underline the word trust. To trust means to develop absolute confidence. So, trust in the Lord. The Lord means the master, the Adonai, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you flip to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 22, the word of the Lord talks about loving God with all our hearts, with all our minds or mind, and then with all our souls or bodies and bodies. He said, lean not on your own understanding. So, what this simply suggests is that there is the Lord. There is another system, which is called self. So, but lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Give him his rightful place. And then, when we give him that permission, he will direct our path. So, the book of Proverbs focuses on the leader's mindset. The book of Proverbs informs how a leader should think, how a leader should see things, how a leader should envision and plan life differently from others. You can lean on your own understanding and get things done, but it's with a limitation. But when we learn to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts there represent you allow the spirit man to interact with the spirit of God and give him a place of ascendancy over the activities of your mind and body. Praise God. So, trust in the Lord. So, a leader can think, see, envision, plan life differently from others. Winning in life demands a different perspective or approach or mindset from the farm crowd of life. We are made, especially if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come into that loving relationship with God, you come into that awareness. We are made in the image of God with one objective in the mind of God, to reign in life. So winning is in our DNA. We are not made to struggle in life. We are not made to live under the situation and circumstances of life. We are made to live over. We are made as victors, not as victims. We are made to win in life. Everything that we need to to put us over in life, it's in our DNA. So we have the DNA of God, which is the DNA of a victor, which is the DNA of an overcomer. Praise the Lord. In Genesis, let me just remind us, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, talking about you and I, said, then God said, let us make man in our image, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, according to our likeness. What is the likeness of God? To be a victor, a sovereign one. He said, let them have dominion. So there is a purpose, a dominion. Let them take charge over the fish of the sea. You can see man has done so well in the various sphere of endeavor. Over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God created man. So God has something in mind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God made pronouncement over their lives. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful. So God was specific. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the heart and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That is the project called man. That is the idea of God. That is the DNA of God. And God literally breathed that into man in Genesis 2:7. Man lost that cutting edge. The first Adam sinned. And then the second Adam in God's plan, because God still have that as his plan for man, came. Look at the summary in Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Just want to lay this foundation. It said, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we are supposed to win in life. We're supposed to reign in life. So the book of Proverbs gives us a paradox to this world system. And there are wisdom in it. Each of those chapters, I try as much as possible to flip through. Today we are on the 15th chapter. And there are keynotes principle, and that's what I want us to do. As you read, it's not even because the reason why we're reading together is to help one another to be able to study. That's why, because when you read groups with people, I mean, if you have a YouVersion electronic Bible on your phone, there is also a group study. You can engage people. There is just for the sake of accountability and growth. That's why we read together. So the book of Proverbs runs. I mean, there is a popular opinion leaning on our understanding, but there is a wisdom of God that we can engage in the marketplace of life. And thank God, because Jesus is actually, if you read the book of Proverbs, you see a word mentioned over and over again, is the word wisdom. Wisdom. And Jesus has been made unto you and I the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 25, and then verse 30. He said, where is the wise? Lean not on your own understanding. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age, or philosopher of this age? He said, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, they don't know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greece seeks after wisdom, and we still have battles along those lines today. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Can we read on? But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and then right standing, and then sanctification or separation, and then redemption. So Christ is our wisdom. And if you read that, if you have been reading, in Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible talks about that it was there when this whole earth started. It was there at the beginning. It was there at the beginning. If you read in other places, it said, by me kings reigns and princes decree justice. It said, wealth, riches, and honor are in my hand. So we need to embrace the wisdom of God if we will run in the marketplace of life. So the book of Proverbs actually opens us up to God, who is the source of our wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses, it says, for the Lord God is wisdom. 2:6. It says, he gives wisdom. From his mouth comes what? Knowledge and understanding. If you read, if you have been following, you read words like wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discretion, justice. So Jesus is that to us. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, in the marketplace of life, which we may face limitation, but the book of Proverbs opens us up to the fact that God is limitless. Sometimes we may feel weak, but God is forever strong. And then sometimes we exhibit imperfection, but God is sure the perfect one. And a lot of the time we may look or appear small, weak, finite, and fail. Sometimes in our life journey, but God is huge, is limitless, is infinite, and he never fails. So the awareness, because the book of Proverbs strengthened that awareness, that God is at work in us, actually put us over in life. God is the one who looks at you and I and declare that you are a victor, you are an overcomer, even when sometimes you are still trying to get your heart together. And those things are supposed to strengthen the way you see, the way you think, the way you see yourself. It helps your image that you have in God. So the book of Proverbs is God's timeless guidance to humanity. And for anyone who is journeying through this life, it teaches us how best to live. The primary objective of this book is to teach wisdom. That's it. The wisdom of it is to teach Jesus to us. And that wisdom is not only to the young, because if you have been following the reading, you see it speaks to young people. Not only to the novice. You know, the Bible used the word in the book of wisdom, simple. It actually means fool in that context. So not only to the novice and the inexperienced, but also to the learned. So that's why it says a wise man, the one who is already wise, we hear and do what? Increase in learning and attain unto wise counsel. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And if you have been studying, he also personified wisdom as an idealistic woman. That's how the book of Proverbs just put it. So you find that most of the narrative, you see that women are mentioned. If you look at the whole book of Proverbs, Solomon is mentioned only 3 times. But there's something about the life of Solomon that I think each and every one of us living life now should just study. So that there is no need repeating the mistakes of Solomon. You know, when he was writing, by the time he flipped to Ecclesiastes, writing those collections, he said that this life, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It's a time and chance. And one translation says, it is being at the right place at the right time that makes success for life. Praise the Lord. So what are the principles? Let me just glean. I will just look at the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. And maybe next week, Sunday, I will just continue. My intention is to just summarize a principle for winning in life. Number one, you must embrace the totality of the Godhead. For you to live on the cutting edge, you must embrace the totality of the Godhead. When I say Godhead, I mean God the Father. So you find that the book of Proverbs, it will say Father, is giving an instruction to his son. So you must embrace the totality of the Godhead. For you to live on the cutting edge, you must have a personal relationship with God. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to 34, the Bible recorded how Solomon came on this lane, how God told him that he's going to give him wisdom to lead, wisdom to be a distinguished king, wisdom. Every other thing I've asked, every other people, when God showed up, they asked for many other things. He said, but because you have not asked for those, I will give you wisdom. And it was just so, that wisdom helped Solomon. Because throughout his reign, there was no war in that real sense. Throughout his reign, there was peace. Throughout his reign, the kingdom grew and multiplied. But the other side to it, which is where the books of Proverbs comes in, is that there is that tendency that when things are just going on, you forget the source. And so, Solomon had to write the book of Proverbs to remind us. There's just something that God does. God loves us. God wants us to increase, enlarge, but he also doesn't want things to possess us apart from himself. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, for you to live on the cutting edge, to win in life, you must embrace the totality of the Godhead. You can't enjoy the benefit of a God that you do not know for yourself. So, you hear these words in Proverbs chapter 1, 7, in Proverbs 3, 5, in Proverbs 9, 10 to 12, we will read. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it said, the fear of the Lord. The word fear means reverence. The word fear means acknowledgement. The acknowledgement of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Ecclesiastes, you find out that Solomon also addressed knowledge. Sometimes, he said, too much study of books brings weariness to the flesh. In one translation, he said, too much book can make a man mad. Because there is a way you can suck in knowledge to feel, and you begin to feel every other person around you is stupid. So the Bible says for you to actually understand knowledge, because knowledge is basically the foundation, is basically the resource base of God. It's where you find the perfection of God. Wisdom is the right application of that knowledge. So, the fear of the Lord, the reverence, the acknowledgement. When God begins to bring promotion to you, when God, you begin to operate in certain realms of life, please understand that your reverential fear, or rather, your reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. But he said, fools despise wisdom and instruction. A typical example of someone who is a fool is the man, a businessman that Jesus gave an example of. He said that this man was growing in business. And there came a year, he had more than enough. And he said, well, what do I do? I mean, the whole place, the goods are there. I've sold as many things this year. He said, what are we do? I know what I will do. I will pull down all these barns. I will build new ones. I will fill it with water. And the man was just saying those things without acknowledging God. God said, it's good. Build the barns. Build the warehouses. Engage more people. But hey, I have just one thing from you. The thing that I gave you, let me take it back. And the Bible says that when God took that thing back, hey, he said, we know whose those things that you have said that your hand and your mind has fetched me. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, or what's the second scripture there? We acknowledge him in all our ways. Proverbs 3:5, which is our test. 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is what? Understanding. verse 11. It said, trust, verse 11 of Proverbs 9. For me, your days will be multiplied and the years of your life will be added. So, if we want to live long, if we want multiplication in our lives, I think the first place is to embrace the totality of the Godhead. Secondly, this morning, second principle, your life's decision for you to win in life, your life decision must premise on God's word. Your life's decisions must premise on God's word. A lot of the time, it takes a whole lot of discipline to do what this point. We know things. We know how to do things. We can, at the snap of our fingers, we can get things done. And then, bingo, it works. And then it works again. It works again. It works again. And the tendency for us to just forget is also there. David never fought. If you read the Bible very well, David never fought battles, a battle or two battles with the same strategies. It will always go back to God, the one who gives victory, to ask, shall I do this? Shall I do that? And when he comes back, there is that aspect that he is in touch. So please understand, our life decision, if we want to really win in life, must premise on God's word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The word of God is our primary tool for winning in life. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, the word of God, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her word. How long, you simple one, you love simplicity? Or how long, you foolish one, we love foolishness? For scorners deny in their scorning, and fools does what? They hate knowledge. Verse 23, he said, turn out my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit to you, on you, and I will make my words known unto you. Keys to understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 to 18. It said, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Let's go. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Is a shield to those who walk uprightly before him. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity of and every good path. When wisdom enters our hearts and knowledge is pleasant to our souls, discretion will preserve us. Discretion. Knowing how to talk and when to talk is discretion. I don't know how that is translated in Igbo and Hausa. Discretion in Yoruba means lakaye. You can make sense of judgment. Many people have lost their job because they lack discretion. Many people have lost business opportunities in life because they lack discretion. So, but he says, when wisdom enters our own heart, knowledge will be pleasant to our soul, we will make sense of judgment, discretion will preserve us, understanding will keep us. Understanding, discretion. I know we live in the workspace. I know there is a new narrative that is being. But hey, if myself and Donald work in a place, I know they ask us to call people by first names. But discretion can, let me say Mr. Donald instead of Donald. I know you can call your MD first name, but be careful. That's discretion. Discretion also means you lead a team that you are the youngest. There's a way to manage the emotions of people in that team. That's discretion. So, when knowledge enters into us, discretion preserves us. understanding gives us. You know, understanding sometimes, people say, let me give him or her the peace of my mind. Understanding can just say a little. I mean, today, one of the opening statements in Proverbs chapter 15, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but it's like grievous words stirs up anger. You are a fool. It's an opinion. But by the time I say you are a buffoon, we can see who the fool is. Understanding will keep us. Then it will deliver us from the way of evil. From a man who speak what? Perverse things. Let's go. For those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their paths, to deliver us from the immoral. Let's leave that for the next one. That's the next point. But what am I saying this morning, which is my second principle? I have five. That your life decision must premise on God's word. There is a way things run all around us, but there is a decision that we can make that the keys to our own understanding is in God's word. For example, another area that our life decision is the area of our health. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 26. Let's look at what Solomon, he said, my son, give attention to my words. And that's why I'm begging you. Even if you have missed out on this reading, you can do 15 chapters within the next 2-3 days. Yeah. My son, give attention to my words. You know, people say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not even Pope, I'm not anything, so why should I? Let them go. And that's not just people. It's actually one of my uncle in the village. One of my uncle, their local church used to have Bible study. And so the pastor will say, give us a scripture. So they turned to my uncle one day and said, give us a scripture. My uncle said, he has no scripture. He said, my job is a farmer. Let me do farming. You are the one to do pastoring. Whatever Bible you read, go and read it and come and tell us. But it doesn't work that way. The pastor will eat for himself. And out of the overflow, that's what he shares. So he said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them, you can see consistency from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? So the word of God is live unto us. But it must be found. Because if it is found, they become what? Health to all our flesh. The word of God must be found. Jeremiah says that. He said, oh Lord, your word were found, and I did eat them, and they became joy and rejoicing to my soul, because I am called by your name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,